Exodus chapter number 14, verses 15 and 16. Penned between a Pharaoh and a promise. On this 9/11 morning, we reflect back to some 10 years ago. Some 10 years ago, in which the lives of thousands of people, if not millions of people, were changed. I feel with confidence that most of those people, nearly all of those people in New York, woke up, complained on their way to work. Once they got to work, they talked about how bad their jobs were, how bad their boss was, the fact that they were not getting paid enough, and then all of a sudden, a plane crashed into the tower. I wonder how many of them at that moment was thinking about security through their employment. I wonder how many of them was thinking about promotion. I wonder how many of them was thinking about how to get back at a coworker. Sometimes in life, God, a loving God, allows something to happen for His glory. I know that sounds kind of, you know, like far from really comprehending. But God really does know what He's doing. With our lives, we take our lives and we say, "Here, God, have your way." And when we say, "Here, God, have your way," we are in essence giving God the right to do with us as He see fit. Now, I know when we come into the church, the Bible declares that where His Spirit is, there is liberty. And we in the United States enjoy freedom like no other country. And I'm certainly thankful for those that are in the military, those that have served in the military, those that every day put their lives on the line for all of us. Freedom, in fact, is not free. And so even though someone tells you that you are free, part of your freedom must enslave you to a cause. You must live for something greater than you. When we begin to live for something greater than ourselves, we find ourselves in submission and or pinned down to something that we are willing to die for. There must be something in life that you are willing to die for. Until you find that thing in life that you're willing to die for, I don't think that you've started living yet. Because you have to know your purpose in life. And you have to reach a point that you are so unselfish that you're willing to lay it down so that somebody else can have true righteousness, true freedom, and true living based off what you're willing to sacrifice. There will come a point in life, a time in life, when you will find yourself pinned to something. When you find yourself pinned to something, and your something could be bills, your something could be a relationship, your something could be your children, but whatever it is that you are pinned to, when you become pinned to that thing, under it where the only thing that you desire is to be loose from it. When you find yourself tied up with something, pinned under something, and God steps in and God loose you from that thing, then you understand what it really means to give God some praise. See, you don't know who God is until God first do something for you. What God did for your neighbor really doesn't mean anything to you because you don't understand the pain that was associated with it. And so God allow us to go through something so that he can take us to something else. Right. Now, Moses found himself in a place in Egypt, out of the church, out of his surroundings, and he found himself in this place in which he really knew nothing about. In life, sometimes you just end up somewhere that you really don't want to be. You ever been in a relationship with someone where it started here and there were limitations on the relationship, and then you cross that line, and then you moved a little bit further over here, and then you cross that line, and then you moved a little further over here, and then when you looked around, there were no boundaries in the relationship whatsoever. When we begin to move away from God, God has a way of pulling us back to him. Even though you can be out of the place of God, God still has a place for you in the kingdom of God. And because God has a place for you in the kingdom of God, everything that God does is to push you back to his presence. Because the Bible declares, I'm really going somewhere, the Bible declares that in his presence there is fullness of joy. And so when we begin to look around today and we find that people don't have joy, it is because we're no longer in his presence. And if you're no longer in the presence of God, you can't have the peace of God, you can't have the joy of God, and you cannot really know God until you find yourself back submitted to him. God called Moses and said, Moses, I want you to lead my people to the promised land. Now, the issue that Moses discovered is that it's not hard to get people to follow you to the promised land. It's not hard to get people to follow you as long as they're going somewhere in which they want to go. The problem comes when conflict hits, when you're on your journey traveling there, and those that wanted to go to the promised land with you run into the first resistance. Because I didn't sign up for this. I thought our lives were going to be sugar and spice. You didn't tell me we wasn't going to have the money sometime to pay the bills. I could have stayed single and struggled. Why did I get married to struggle with you? It's because until you reach that point, you really don't know who you're dealing with. And so God sometimes will allow conflicts to come. And when conflicts come, what the conflicts are to do is to validate to you that you're on the right path. If you're on a path this morning and there's nothing that you're going through that is pushing you back, that means that Satan is not afraid of you and he wants you to go that way. But when you find yourself in resistance, you find yourself traveling and it seems like hell just keep breaking loose in your life, baby, you gotta stay right there. You gotta understand that the resistance is to validate that Jesus Christ is present.
Amen.
And so what Moses does is Moses goes to the people in Egypt. And he says, how many of you want to go to the promised land? And they all sit up and say, me, I want to go to the promised land. And so they all started on a journey that should have taken 11 days. 11 days. The journey up taking 400 years. I find it fascinating that we can say, wow. Because I wonder how long your journey has been. I wonder when you were really supposed to graduate. I wonder when you really were supposed to pay that house off. I wonder when you really were supposed to pay that call. But you're still wandering in the wilderness. And because the journey sometimes can get so long, we question whether or not God is there. Because if God really loved us, we would be able to get right there to the promised land. Now, when God called Moses to go to the people and to lead the people out of Egypt into the promised land, Moses goes to the people and says, hey, come on, let's go to the promised land. The people get behind Moses. They begin their journey to the promised land. Now, while they're going to the promised land, they begin to murmur. They begin to complain because, you know, the truth of the matter is God could have left us in Egypt to die. You got to be careful when you get to a place in your mind that slavery is better than your troubles. If you're not careful, you can begin to go through something and you would want to give up. And so what you would say to God is that I would rather just be in slavery than to go through what I'm going through. When your mindset says slavery is all right, because what you have for me, God, is too hard. You need to understand nothing is too hard for God. And so you may be in slavery this morning. Slave to debt, slave in a relationship. And every time God pulls you out, you go back. Because at least I'm familiar with this relationship. At least I'm comfortable right here. But God is saying, baby, I'm taking you to a new thing. Now, when God calls you to a new thing, you got to be careful with the haters in your life. Because they'll always show up and they'll always say, who are you? Why you think you're going to do it? Because Pookie and them just tried that. And Leroy and them tried that. And it didn't work for them. Why you think you can do that? You better sit yourself down somewhere. You know you from the projects just like we are. You know you just came up rough just like we are. But baby, when God says I got need for you, you need to understand that God can jump over all of your little stuff when God says I got need for you. So Pharaoh says, okay, Moses, I'll let the people go. So Pharaoh stood back and he allowed all the people to go. And as the people began to go, what Pharaoh discovered was, that's my workforce. They were working for me absolutely free. Now, watch this. There are some folk in your life that you're working for absolutely free. They just call themselves cousins. They just call themselves family members. But you're really working for them absolutely free. There's some folk, Pharaoh. Pharaoh is not necessarily a person. Pharaoh has to do with a position in life. Pharaoh has to do with a system or something. And so there is a system that is in place today that you're working for absolutely free. It's called interest rates on your credit cards. You're working absolutely free. You're paying, but you're not getting anywhere. And so that Pharaoh in your life got you pinned under something. See, God sometimes will show you a promise, but he'll allow Pharaoh to come after you. And so the moment that Moses says, okay, we'll get the people out, and the people begin to go, Pharaoh just said, okay, fine, you can go. Then all of a sudden, Pharaoh began to chase after the people. Now, when Pharaoh came after Moses, came after the people, Pharaoh sent 600 of his best chariots. You need to understand, when Satan comes after you, he's going to send his best after you. Because he needs to kill the anointing that is upon your life. He's not coming to rub your head. He's not coming to rub your feet. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And Satan is fighting us up here, and we're still playing with him down here, and we wonder why we don't get no breakthrough. Because Satan
through something. And as you begin to go through something, Pharaoh is chasing you. And when Pharaoh begins to chase you, you'll find yourself in life where it seems like Pharaoh is behind you. And Pharaoh is quickly approaching you. And then you look in the front of you, and there's nothing there but a wall. Moses found himself running from Pharaoh. Pharaoh is coming. And what was before him was a river, was a sea. And he said, I can't go forward because I can't walk on water. I can't go backwards because Pharaoh will kill me. God asked a silly question to Moses, and perhaps he's asking the same question to us this morning. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Now come on, God. Not God. Now, you know Moses stuttered a little bit. The God. You know now. I've been praying. I've been fasting. I ain't got time to play this morning with you asking me what's in my hand. The checkbook is negative. You want me to tell you that part? That is in my hand. The credit report is in my hand. It's all bad. You want me to tell you that? And God says, no. That's not what I'm trying to get you to see. He says, what's in your hand? You want to know where God is going to bless you from? What's in your hand this morning? Yes, Satan took some stuff from you. He's postponing some stuff. But God is still asking the question, what's in your hand? If you'll open up your hands and look at what's in your hand, he may took something from you. But thank God I'm still alive. I may not have the car that I used to have, but thank God I don't have to walk. I may not live where you live, but thank God I still got a roof over my head. What's in your hand this morning? So listen, God says to Pharaoh, he says, Pharaoh, I'm going to make you so mad with Moses. You're going to chase after him, and you're going to want to kill him. I wonder if you got some folk in your life. The folk that is in your life, they're chasing you. They're trying to kill you. But that's not bad. The bad part is that you know the dude that's chasing you. You know how rough he can be. Because you've seen him deal with some other folk. And that dude can be nasty when he comes through. And God have the audacity to take your life and harden the heart of your enemy. And there you are saying, God, don't make him mad. I'm already going to get everything. Please, don't make him mad. You ever been there in life? But God, no. God, don't say that to him. No, don't say that. I don't want him to get upset. No, I need his favor this morning. God will put you in a place where you have to understand that favor doesn't come from man. Favor comes from God. And when you understand that favor comes from God, then you understand that if man puts you in a place, man can take you out of a place. But if God positioned you, then can't nobody move you. If God gave you that job, baby, they can tear everything up, but your job ain't going nowhere. I need somebody to believe God this morning. To believe that God is establishing you. Watch this. So God steps in. And then when God steps in, God begins to deal with the heart of Pharaoh. And sometimes God would deal with your enemies in a mighty strange way. It seemed like God is talking to everybody but you. And you look around and here comes your enemy. They're coming again. And so Pharaoh is coming. Pharaoh is chasing after Moses. And here Moses is and said, I can't go forward. God says to Moses, Moses, what's in your hand? And Moses says, watch this. All I got is an old rod. You know a rod in the Bible represents a word? I wish you got that.
I wish you got that. Because what I'm really trying to say to you is that your credit may be messed up, your account may be negative, and the only thing that you have is the old word of God that you can say. I know what I'm going through, but I got a word. And the word is, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I'm going through hell this morning, but I got a word. And the word is, no weapon that is formed against me, baby, shall prosper. I'm going through something this morning, but I got a word this morning. And the word is, my God shall supply all of my needs. I'm going through something this morning. I know what's before me, but I got a word this morning. And the word is that he'll never leave me, never forsake me. What's in your hand, baby? If you take what's in your hand and begin to prophesy to something, begin to speak to the devils in your life, and watch God part your Red Sea. Watch God open it up for you. And with God, watch it. God opened up the Red Sea for Moses. And as Moses, don't you ever forget this, as Moses began to lead the people through the Red Sea, can you imagine the first one took a step where the water used to be? And it, yesterday, it was a sea there. And now another one take another step, and their feet make connection with a dry ground. And for the first time in history, somebody leaves a footprint in the Red Sea. Baby, where you going? You got some haters in your life that is telling you that that's never been done. There's never been a sea print. No, not like that. But all of a sudden, God says, it's going to be a footprint right here. And everybody looking and say, I never seen a footprint underneath the river, underneath the sea. And God said, where I'm taking you, it's the first time. You never seen it done because I was waiting on you. Because I was waiting on your rod. Because I was waiting on you to speak a word. And now that you spoke a word, you watch me do it in your life. No, baby, it ain't never been done. And so they begin to march through. And as they begin to march through the Red Sea, and here they are, all of them marching through. And then Moses, you know doubt will slip in on you. And when doubt slipped in, he peeked over his shoulder and said, God, I thought you worked it out. You opened it up for me, but you left it open for Pharaoh. You ever feel sometimes like God just left you wide open and exposed sometimes? And the more that Moses began to walk, he took one step and he took another. And God says to him, he says, the Pharaoh's army, your enemies that you see today, you'll see them no more. And just in case you crazy, you don't understand what no more means, he did that forever. Somebody's facing you this morning. You need to know that you'll never see them again. You're going through hell this morning, but you need to know, never again will I go through this one. Never again, never again. I'm coming out of this thing. I may be pew, but I'm coming out of this thing. My credit may be bad, but I'm coming out of this thing. I may be sick, but I'm coming out of this thing. I may not look what you think I'm, but I'm coming out of this thing. See, sometimes God will allow you to go through something. And in the midst of going through something, he'll pin Pharaoh right on your tail. And every time you take one step, Satan is right on you. What I mean is every time you pay one bill, two more is due. Every time you put new tires on the car, the alternator stopped working. Pharaoh is on your heel, baby. Pharaoh is on your heel. But God is saying, but I'm going to walk you through this thing. And where we going, you will see him no more. No, never again. He says, now every time you take one step, I need for you to understand that as you take one step, I'm ordering your step. So that means that every ditch that has been dug for you, I'm not going to let you get that one, baby. We're going to step right to the side of that one. Where I'm going to lead you to, I'm going to lead you to a place of blessing. Now, I know you don't know what's going on. And I know it's dark in your life. You down in the valley. And you can't see nothing but hell in your valley. But God is saying, you can't see me, but I still see you. My eyes is on the sparrow. And you got to know, I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. And not only am I going to guide you, baby, but you got to know that no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And so here it is. God says to Moses, you got to walk it out. And so Moses begins to lead the people. and they begin to walk the thing out. And as they begin to walk it out, as soon as they cross the river, all of a sudden God says, release. And when God says release, then all the water came back together. You got to know that you're in a place this morning where God is saying to you, just say release. If you say release, everything that was behind you, I'll pull it together and I'll drown your debt this morning. I'll cancel out the stuff for you. I'll drown your fear this morning and I'll replace it with faith. You better say release this morning in this house. You better say release this morning. God want to release some stuff in your life, but you got to release it this morning. Now watch this now. Watch this. I said to you before, God will place a dream in all of us. Now the dream that is in you, don't you expect somebody to understand that old foolish talk that you have. Come on, God gonna do this for you. Because they're sitting there saying, how God gonna do that? You don't even have a job. How God gonna do that? You got 4 kids you trying to take care of. You even got 3 grandkids that you're trying to take care of. How God gonna do that for you? And God is saying to you, baby, you just watch me. You just watch me. Because I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If I said it, it shall be done. The world may fade away, but it shall be done. If you speak it in your life, God has shown you a dream. And he says, if you're stupid enough to dream it, I'm stupid enough to write a check for it. You better start dreaming this morning. There's some dreams. And I'm speaking to some dreams in this place. You've been afraid to dream. You've been afraid to repeat back what God has said to you. Because to somebody, it doesn't sound right. Don't you know that nobody has ever touched dry land going through the sea before? What God has for you is a new thing. Somebody shout new thing in here. A new thing. I don't want your old stinking blessings. I want a new thing. I want my own. I don't want your pink Cadillac. I want a black Cadillac. I don't want your green house. I want a white house on the hill with a picket fence. God is saying a new thing. Now there's some dreamers in here. Now, be careful with your dreams. Because when you become a dreamer, you got to understand that that also releases the destroyer. John 10:10 says, Satan comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. When you begin to dream, he's coming after you. Because he wants to destroy what God has placed inside of you. But now what God has placed inside of you, you need to understand that no devil in hell has the power to overcome. Amen. I wish somebody would just speak to Satan this morning and tell him this morning, I plead the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I plead the blood of Jesus. I'll clean y'all pew later. Y'all excuse me, but I got some stuff. If you tell him that you plead the blood of Jesus on him, I know it looks impossible, but he says, that's just right for me right there. I know you think it's dead, but he says, but you got to know I got the power to raise some stuff up. If you speak to that devil this morning and tell that devil, baby, I've been down long enough. I'm coming out, baby. And when I come out, I'm going to bring my new stuff with me. I'm going to bring new mercy with me. I'm going to bring my new blessings with me. You need to begin to talk to Satan this morning. Don't run from him. No, not one more again. No, baby, not one more again. You need to stand flat foot with him and tell him, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You need to tell him, you need to go get permission from my daddy in order to talk to me. And if my daddy said that I can talk to you, then my daddy know that I can kick your butt this morning. You need to plead the blood of the Lamb. When the dreamers come, then the destroyers come. And when Satan comes, he comes but to destroy you. And as soon as he shows up to destroy you, God sometimes will put you in a fire. And he'll let you live there just for a little while. And it seems like he's trying to be funny, but you don't get the joke. You ever been there going through something? Come on, God, show up. You know? And he says, now, I know what I put inside of you. And what's inside of you is just gold. When you take gold, put it in the fire, it never burns up. All it does, baby, is make you shine. They walked out on you. They thought they were going to consume you. All they're doing is making you shine. God says, I'll do a crazy thing just so you can shine. Is God shining in your life? Huh? When they walked out on you and you bought a new car and you saw them walking down the street, you ain't got to say that. Just toot your horn out. When the destroyer comes, then you got to know. Until the destroyer comes, the deliverer cannot come. Because up until that point, God has nothing to deliver you from. So sometimes he has to allow Pharaoh to pin you under a situation, under a circumstance, and you find yourself pinned between Pharaoh and the promise. And when you pin between Pharaoh and the promise, then you understand that Satan comes. When he comes to destroy, God says, now I can deliver you.
Yes.
You think you lost some stuff? And God is saying, no, baby, I needed to reveal some stuff to you. Because where I'm taking you, your so-called friend, they would have killed you dead if they would have got to the promised land with you. Everybody can't go to your promised land. I don't know about you, but I don't want to share my promises. Let me make this thing a 2011 thing. I don't want to share my goodies with everybody. You got to be worthy to get my goodies. God is saying, it's through your righteousness that I'll give you some goodies. Now, when I give you my goodies, you can't put it in a hog pen. You can't put it in a pig pen. Now, you got to understand that God is saying, now, I showed up to deliver you. Now, you've been going through something with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh wanted to kill you. And when he tried to kill you, God said, no, 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 not yet. Now God begins to deliver you. And so God grabs you. And the trip that should have took 11 days, that took 400 years, God is saying, I won't make you look like where you've been. I need to talk to some folk this morning. Some folk this morning who've been addicted to drugs, I need to talk to you. Some folk that just came out of the club some 10 hours ago, I need to talk to you. All y'all holy folks, I don't have time right now. I need to talk to some folk this morning that don't know if Jesus still loves you. Baby, you need to understand that the Bible declares, God says, I'm married to the backslider. I don't know about you, but I've turned my back on God several times. And he says, but I'm still married to you. I'm still in love with you. I'm still in love with you. I still will fight your battles. I still will move mountains for you because I'm in love with you. And he says, I let you go through some stuff because I need to show you just who I am. See, God will allow you to go through something so that we can get a clear picture of who he is. Have you ever tried the Lord? Do you know him to be a deliverer? Have you ever been pinned under something? Won't God deliver you from something? Have you ever been going through something and you got stuck in the midst of going through something? Have you ever been going through something and it was really dark in what you were going through? Couldn't see your way out, but all of a sudden that light shined. And when the light shined, God says, follow me. And you begin to follow him. And just as they begin to walk through the wilderness, the Bible declares that during the daytime, they'll allow the cloud to come over. And at night, the little moon will just shine. And as it shines, it will give guidance to them. You need to understand that as you live in a dark world today, God is saying, I'm still guiding you. I'm still ordering you. You know why everybody else is losing their mind? You know why everybody else got high blood pressure? And you know why you still looking good this morning? It's because God, who surpasses all understanding, will give you a peace that is beyond the understanding. And the understanding that God gives you is an understanding to know that it makes no difference what I'm going through. I know that God is right by my side. You need to know that God is right by your side this morning. Yes, you may be pinned under something this morning. But God is saying, baby, I can loose you just like
yes,
that.
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you.
Moses led the people to the promised land. And as he began to lead them to the promised land, they began to talk back to Moses. Moses, you could have left us in Egypt. At least we had some food. God, you could have left me at that other job. At least I had some food. God, you could have left me in that bad relationship. At least I could predict what was going to happen. I want to talk to somebody this morning where God is calling you out. He says, do you want more of me? And so he's beginning to call you. Get out of your comfort zone. Allow yourself to dream. God is calling you. But I don't know if that's going to work. And you'll never find out until you begin to walk by faith and not by sight. If you can see it, there's not much to it. If a man can finance it for you, it's not much to it. If somebody can release you from it, it's not much to it. But when you find yourself in a hole and nobody but Jesus, and then all of a sudden he steps in and he begins to move the rocks and the bricks and the trees and the haters and the bad credit and the sickness, and he began to move it all out of the way. And he says, take up your bed and walk. The same stuff that you've been struggling with, it's the same stuff that God is saying, open your hands. It's in your hand. It's in your hand. You think you don't have anything? Just open your hands this morning. And God is saying, if you let me come in. Because when you open your hand, you have to open your heart. And he says, I come in and I sit with you. If you abide in me, I'll abide in you. As we open the doors of the church this morning, God wants somebody to let him come in this morning. He wants to come in this morning. He wants to step in this morning. He wants to abide in your house this morning. If you just move out of his way, he'll come in this morning. With everyone this morning, perhaps don't know Christ as your personal Savior, or perhaps you do, you just need a church home, will you let him come in this morning?